Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. This week's program, I'd like to discuss the moral dilemma happening in Arizona. As you know, with the overturning of Roe versus Wade, the question of abortion was returned to the states. Back in 1973, when Roe was passed, 33 states had laws making almost all abortions illegal. But in 1973, in one decision, the Supreme Court took the authority to overturn all of those anti-abortion state laws, which is really quite outrageous if you think about it. 9 men arrogantly assuming they had the moral authority to overturn centuries of Western moral law and the will of the people. Even in the early 20th century, the American Medical Association was actively opposing the practice of abortion. Remember the Hippocratic Oath. Quote, "To do no harm, and neither will I perform an abortion on a woman." Yes, that is actually the wording. It really shows how far we have fallen as a nation. Now, over the course of Roe versus Wade being the law of the land, many states passed legislative laws restricting abortion. In 2022, the conservative Arizona legislature passed a law that no abortions would be allowed after 15 weeks. That's in the early second trimester. Not as stringent as the heartbeat bill, like they just passed in Florida, which means there cannot be abortions after 6 or 7 weeks. But a 15-week abortion ban was the best law conservatives could get passed in Arizona back in 2022. Now, back in 1973, the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision overturned Arizona's previous abortion law from 1864, which outlawed all abortions with a 5-year jail sentence for anyone who performed an abortion. But under Roe, states could restrict abortions, but not eliminate it. So in 2022, Arizona implemented a 15-week ban on abortion. However, now that Roe was overturned, in Arizona, 2 laws are on the books: the 1864 law and the 2022 law. But the 1864 law was written into the state's constitution. The 2022 law was state legislative law. And last week, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled that the 1864 constitutional law trumps the 2022 legislative law, making abortion completely illegal in the state of Arizona with jail time for abortion providers. The law of Arizona reverted back to the state's law before 1973. And amen, this is great. Abortion is the murder of an innocent baby, but there's only one problem. The people of Arizona no longer hold to the moral convictions of their forefathers. At best, only 30% of the people of Arizona are pro-life. The rest will tolerate early abortions. And the current governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, says that she will not enforce the 1864 law. And so the abortion clinics in Arizona are staying open in defiance of the law. So here's the moral dilemma for conservative legislators in Arizona. A moral dilemma even for a Christian legislator. Leftist politicians in Arizona, like the pro-abortion Democrat governor Katie Hobbs, already have a referendum on the ballot to overturn the 1864 law and replace it with unrestricted abortion in Arizona. But if conservatives put forth a constitutional referendum for a 6-week heartbeat bill or a 15-week bill, then most likely the public will favor that referendum because at least it allows for some abortions. But that means conservative legislators have to overturn a complete abortion ban and actually pass a law permitting abortion. And Christian conservatives cannot do that with a clear conscience. We can't pass a law overturning an abortion ban. The sixth commandment, thou shall not murder. But if conservatives don't pass that compromise law, then likely the outcome will be unrestricted abortions in Arizona. More innocent blood shed. Now, leftist politicians are salivating over this whole event. They believe they can use our own absolute moral principles against conservatives, knowing that many conservatives won't compromise on abortion. After the Arizona decision, the Democrats believed that they had the November election in the bag because they can now paint Republicans as wanting to take away all abortions, even for rape or incest or the health of the mother. And they know the public will not go with that. They want to make this November election a referendum on abortion because that's all they have to run on. The border's out of control. The country's going bankrupt. Inflation's out of control. Biden's funding two wars in the Ukraine and the Middle East. We're in a proxy war with Russia. There's an increase in crime. And the Democratic candidate is senile. So all they have to run on is support for abortion and LGBTQ. In an interview with Jen Psaki on MSNBC, Nancy Pelosi said abortion is front and center in the Democrat 2024 campaign. And that abortion is a winning issue for Democrats. It is what stopped the red wave in the 2022 midterms. Quote from Pelosi, everyone said we were going to lose 30 to 40 seats. Last time we lost 5 and everybody said, you had the wrong message. They said to me, you're going to owe an apology to the members because Dobbs is in the rearview mirror. But it wasn't. It was up in front. And it is right up in front of women in our country, unquote. And Pelosi might be right about America's grassroots support for abortion, that the citizenship will vote for the politician who will destroy this country as long as the people can have their abortion. Oh, by the way, in that interview, Nancy Pelosi revealed her fatal moral error. She said, our country has always been about expanding freedoms. And I've explained this many times. The moral corruption in America is being justified by freedom being the basis for ethics. But that always leads to Sodom and Gomorrah. The law of nature and nature's God is to be the basis for morals, not freedom. Freedom could justify murder, pedophilia, rape, theft, Marxism. Freedom gives permission to the most twisted behavior. Well, back to the subject. This abortion situation in Arizona is an ethical dilemma that's a teachable moment. A moral question that calls for some serious biblical discernment concerning what to do when faced with the lesser of two evils. Is it ever right to compromise with evil? Or is faith doing the right thing always and trusting God? Is it ever right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right? Or is it ever right to do wrong so that greater wrongs will not take place? Now, as I will eventually explain, Christian conservatives are not between a rock and a hard place in this matter. The moral situation is not as dire as it may seem. There is a very easy, simple answer once you know all the facts and choices. But even that takes some biblical discernment and understanding, which I'd like to discuss because we ought to understand what the Bible has to say about these moral dilemmas, because we run into them quite often. But first, let's talk about the video abortion announcement that Trump made on Truth Social just a couple of days before the Arizona Supreme Court decided to uphold the 1864 law, because Trump's statement plays into this whole ethical question of whether we should compromise with evil to win elections, compromising with evil hoping to gain authority to stop other evils, even greater evils. So after explaining his support for IVF, in vitro fertilization, quote from Donald Trump, many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights. especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and in fact demanded be ended, Roe versus Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the 9th month. The concept of having an abortion in the latter months and even execution at birth. And that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth is unacceptable. And almost everyone agrees with that. My view is that now that we have abortion, where everyone wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land. In this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks. Some will be more conservative than others, and that's what they'll be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart, or in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what is right for your family, and do what is right for yourself. Do what's for your children. Do what's right for your country. And vote. It's so important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about the will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. Like Ronald Reagan, I'm strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to have our country, which is currently and very sadly a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs all of us to work closely together. Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, everyone. We have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink. And that's where it is. It's at the brink. And we will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We're a failing nation, but we can't be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much. Unquote, Donald Trump. Now, in response to Trump's statements, there was social media chatter in the Christian community asking, are you still going to vote for Trump? He's pro-choice, killing a baby in the womb because he or she was the product of rape or incest is still murder. How can you vote for someone who's a murderer? There are pro-life groups called abortion abolitionists who adamantly believe in no exceptions. They see the incremental approach in doing away with abortion as sinful compromise. They would never vote for a heartbeat bill because they believe that's still sanctioning abortion. And they believe the incremental approach is not only the devil's method, it doesn't work in the long term. The incremental approach never produces the necessary moral authority to overthrow evil. The only way to do away with evil is to take the absolutist stance against it. Don't give the devil an inch. And Trump's statement that at the end of the day, it's all about the will of the people, is an abdication of the duty of a magistrate to be an avenger against those who practice evil. Remember Aaron in the Old Testament? People wanted to build a golden calf, and he obliged. He brought guilt upon himself. Exodus 32:25. For Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies. Deuteronomy 9, the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. And there's also the example of King Ahaz, 2 Chronicles 28. The Lord humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had brought about a lack of restraint in Judah and was very unfaithful to the Lord. The responsibility of the king is to keep the people from doing evil, not to give people license. And the Roman governor Pilate is a prime example. Rather than standing up for justice, Pilate let the will of the people decide in order to keep the people happy. And the people cried, crucify him, crucify him. So Pilate sent an innocent man to die in order to maintain his own political power. Abortion abolitionists also believe that overturning Roe allowing it to return to the states was a failure on the part of the Supreme Court. The morally right thing to do would have been a federal national law banning abortion. As our Declaration of Independence reads, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are the right to life. Well, I agree with these abortion abolitionist beliefs. And I would ban abortion if I were the President of the United States. If I were on the Supreme Court, I would enact a federal abortion ban. But I'm not the President of the United States. And I'm not in a position to run and win to be the President of the United States. And neither are these pro-life abolitionists. God raises up magistrates who will compromise with evil, who will make allowances for evil to prevent greater evils. God lets these leaders dirty their hands so his people don't have to. If we look at the history of Israel, southern Israel, God raised up 23 kings. And God did raise up each one of them. Daniel 4:25, the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind, and he bestows it on whomever he wishes. Now of that 23, 4 were considered righteous kings, 14 were evil kings, and 5 served God but not with a full heart. But God raised up each of these kings, even those kings who gave the people what they wanted, so that the people would be allowed to do the evil they desired, and then be punished by the evil consequences built into the sin. Now this is hard to understand why God would permit this. But God directs the evil nature of man to accomplish the salvation and the sanctification of his people. God keeps the wicked in line, allowing enough sin to be practiced to expose and bring about a knowledge of sin, but not so much evil as to thwart the salvation and sanctification of his chosen people. Now, the Christian could never legislate evil in order to bring about chastisement on evildoers. However, that is God's prerogative in choosing to allow evil, unprincipled people to punish other evildoers by giving them license. Romans chapter 12, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. A good comparison would be between the kings and the true prophets of the Lord. The prophets were the absolutists, the purists, and they would tell the king the right thing to do. But even the best kings would only do half of what the prophets said was right. But nevertheless, the role of the prophets was crucial. There was a need for the absolutists, the purists ethically. They moved the Overton window in the right direction. And you know what the Overton window is. The Overton window is the range of policies politically acceptable to the mainstream population at any given time. For example, by the Christian community preaching that all abortion is murder, the true Christians being the prophets of this age, that moves the mainstream population away from unrestricted abortion and toward restrictions. But as was also the case in ancient Israel, the kings and the people never fully practiced righteousness. Here's an interesting biblical teaching. In 2 Kings chapter 14, King Amaziah did right in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father David. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. The high places were alternative places of worship outside of Jerusalem. There the people would often worship pagan idols, along with pagan practices, even the ancient practice of abortion, child sacrifice. But even with all of the reforms in the capital, Jerusalem, often the kings didn't have the police power to stop all the evils in the country. Also, 1 Kings chapter 15, Jotham became king of Israel. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Only the high places were not taken away. And also concerning King Asa, 2 Chronicles 15, but the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was blameless all of his days. And also King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20. He walked in the ways of his father Asa, doing right in the sight of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed. The people had not yet directed their hearts to the God of their fathers. So these good kings of Israel never brought about perfect obedience to God in Israel, either because it was impossible to enforce the law, or the people were unwilling to obey the law, or the kings themselves were unwilling to fully obey. But nevertheless, the prophets of God were the righteous absolutists and the purists. And they were the ones who anointed these men to be king, for they knew that these were the men God chose, even though these men were imperfect. Now, back to the situation in Arizona. For the Christian legislator, if there be any true Christian legislators in the chamber, and I'm sure there are, they don't have to make the choice of whether or not to vote against the 1864 law prohibiting abortion. They don't have to be lobbying for a law allowing for some abortions. The decision is already made for them. There are enough moderate Republicans who operate on the basis of pragmatism who are going to put forth a compromise referendum on the ballot to counter the Democrats' unrestricted abortion referendum. And the people will be making the decision in the November vote, not the legislators. Just like Moses came down off of Mount Sinai and gave the people a choice. Exodus 19. And he set before them all of these words which the Lord had commanded him. And the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses wasn't compromising with evil by giving the people their choice. Or like Joshua, who said to the people in Joshua 24, "I'm giving you the choice this day whom you will serve." Now, I suppose someone could claim that Moses was compromising because he let the people decide when maybe he should have simply said, "This is the way it is, and you have to accept the law of God." Now, there are times when giving people the choice is sinful compromise and times when it's not. But God knows the heart. Whether the purpose is to abdicate moral responsibility because of cowardice, like Aaron and Pilate, or the purpose is to require the moral accountability of the people, like in the case of Moses and Joshua. Now, back again to the Arizona situation. The bottom line is that I find in all cases, the Christian doesn't have to choose to support sinful compromise legislation. By the will of God, God will allow lesser principal politicians to do the work if that's what God wants. Now, as far as President Trump is concerned, remember again, it was the prophets of God that anointed men like King Jeroboam, who would split the kingdom of Israel, and men like Jehu, who would put to death Ahab and Jezebel in a violent way. You know, the prophets would discern the will of God concerning the man for the office and tell them the right way to govern. But they weren't responsible if those men acted in unprincipled ways during the time of their reign. Of course, Trump is not 100% fully pro-life. We all know that. But nevertheless, he is going in a better direction than the current president, who is 110% pro-abortion. And we can continue to act as prophets pointing Trump in the right direction. So that's a quick overview of the situation. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to other past programs is at the website godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. So thanks for listening. Stand in the truth. Be a people of the truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.